Sam Rejofsky here, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Happy Monday, one and all. The phone number, if you'd like to be on the program today, 800-222-5222. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Now, you're going to have to forgive me today. I am almost totally blind. I went in this afternoon for a bit of an eye checkup. And they did the, you know, they put the drops in my eyes for the dilation. And they swore it would wear off in 3 hours. And it's been 3 hours. And I still cannot see a thing. Like, I can see producer Robbie mostly because he's got a light, direct light right overhead. You know that? You're perfectly illuminated over there. It's like a halo. But yeah, so I can see distance, but up close, it's just all blur. I take my glasses off and nothing. Right? Because anyway, it just doesn't work that way. And then put them on and nothing. It's extremely frustrating. So I'm doing this show virtually blind, which is the way radio ought to be. No, I don't know about that at all. Look, it's been a big and heavy weekend. Terrible story out of Texas. And I'm sure you've heard about the massacre in this town in Texas. It's outside of San Antonio. And I want to take a little bit of a different take on this because now there's this heated debate about guns and about what we ought to do. In fact, you have a number of prominent Hollywood types and media people saying, enough of your prayers, Mr. President. Don't give us any prayers. We don't want prayers. We want change. And I'm curious, this is just, it's actually interesting to me, because when there's a terrorist act and the president suggests a political solution, it's pandering, it's politicizing an unfortunate event. But when the president offers prayers and talks about mental health and not about gun control when after a mass shooting, it's him not doing enough. It's him turning a deaf ear. It's him and the rest of the evil Republicans not doing what they ought to do. And it presents a very interesting question. Why? Well, of course, the why is the easy answer is that the left has a political horse in this race. If you talk to a proper, you know, card carrying leftist, they want all of us disarmed. And they want as many persons here in this country from elsewhere in order to form a more perfect multicultural union. You know, there's actually, in my view, there is the key difference between terrorism and a mass shooting is that one has an obvious and clear and constitutional political solution, while the other does not. You know what I mean by this? Okay, so let's look at, what do we want to start with? Terrorism? We can start there. It's very simple. When we look at the visa waiver program that allowed the New York terrorist to get into this country, you know what the statistics bear out? That a significant number, if not a majority, of the visa waiver recipients that came in under that particular program put in by Chuck Schumer all came from terror sponsoring countries. Okay? So here we are. We don't owe any constitutional rights. Like, don't be fooled by the courts that are cutting Trump's, highly the Trump travel ban, right? That are cutting the various quotas and things, restrictions on quotas. There's no constitutional protections for citizens of other countries living overseas. And those are the people that are applying to come into this country. Does that make sense? They are not protected by our Constitution. You know who is? The people in this country. So when we see people in this country getting harmed by people who have come here from somewhere else, and that somewhere else happens to be a place that is totally hostile to our way of life, to a liberal, small L, liberal society. And well, maybe we should go, hey, This is an easy political solution. There's nothing in the Constitution that prevents us from discriminating against those people, from preventing those people from coming in. Hey, maybe we want more Italians. Maybe we want more Chinese. Maybe we want more Filipinos. But hey, maybe we don't want people here from, let's say, Saudi Arabia or from Iran. That is an actual political decision that a president can make. Congress can legislate. And it does not run afoul, contrary to what a few enterprising, federal judges think. It does not run afoul of the Constitution. It passes constitutional muster. On the flip side, you've got a Second Amendment. You have a Second Amendment that has allowed gun ownership since the formation of our republic. To wit, we have a tremendous amount of weaponry out there. Now, I'm being a pragmatist here. This is just putting on my common sense hat. Can we do that for a minute? The common sense hat, you put it on, you say, today, if you banned all guns, what is the ensuing result? And the ensuing result is you cannot possibly retrieve the guns that are out there in this country. It's just impossible. They will be out there and they will be out there in perpetuity. The value, the street value of these now black market items, illegal items, will soar. But a person who is determined to kill with a gun will be able to get that gun. Oh, but Sam, we'll make it against the law. It's going to be illegal. That's right. So the only thing that would be different about this story is that our two good Samaritans who came to the rescue hearing gunshots, there's one guy named Stephen Wilford, 55, another guy, Johnny Langendorf, 27. I think you've seen their pictures in the paper. They came out. They each grabbed their lawfully acquired weapons, went out there and engaged this guy and perhaps thwarted him from going to another location and killing more people. You would not have that second part of the story, because why? The guy who's on a suicide mission, the guy who's determined to die, does not care about what the laws of the land are, does not care what prohibitions the state places on him. He's out there. He's on a suicide mission. He doesn't care about going to jail for violating a gun law. See, this is the part that just, I understand the pain. I understand the hurt. I get it. But we can't lose our logical minds. And I see such tremendous hypocrisy from the left. It frustrates me. And the hypocrisy consists of this core thing. When you have a problem that actually has a political solution, we can't, because it's not politically correct. It's not politically correct to say that those people over there want to do us harm. We're supposed to love all people and bring them all in and sing kumbaya and roast s'mores and live happily ever after. But listen, this is not fantasy land. That person who comes from, let's say, the Sudan, has a brother, a mother, a father, a cousin, some relative that they're close to, who statistically is or has affinity to jihadists. It's just part of their, we don't want to admit this, it's part of their religion. It's part of their culture. No, not everybody is an extremist, but far more likely to have some connection to extremists than a guy that you're bringing over from Japan or a guy that you're, bringing in from South Africa or a gal that you're bringing in from Sweden. And it has nothing to do with race, color of their skin, or anything racist, because that's the first thing that you guys are going to call me out there, you crazy leftists. You know who you are. Oh, Sam, you're a racist. You're a bigot. You just want blonde-haired, blue-eyed people from Norway. No, I just want people who aren't coming to this country to kill me. It's that simple. It's that simple. I don't care if they're Mormon. I don't care if they're Buddhist. I don't care. I honestly don't even care if they're Muslim, but they just cannot have sympathies to jihad. They have to reject the crazy fanaticism of their religion. And that's a problem. That is a political problem that has political solutions. But this This question of mass shootings and an immediate call for gun control is just asinine. It is crazy. It makes no sense. I'll get you an example of what makes no sense. Okay, what kind of gun control are you proposing? What proposals have you heard? The one I heard today was a ban on assault rifles. Please tell me, call me tonight and tell me what an assault rifle is. I want to know. I want you to tell me what an assault rifle is, because in liberal land, and I do speak liberal, this is sort of like, Finding Nemo, you got Dory the fish and she speaks whale. That's kind of what speaking liberal is like. Assault rifle. An assault rifle is, it's like scary looking gun. I'm doing air quotes. Scary looking gun. That's what an assault rifle is. Do you know what's hilarious? The bad guy, the shooter, and we're not even going to use his name. He's a loser. He's a creep. He is a murderer, and he deserves to burn in hell. So the shooter that did this unspeakable act, you know what weapon he used, according to the media? He used an assault rifle. But then when I read about the Stephen Wilford guy and Johnny Langdorf, the good guys that came along and interrupted it, those two, you know what they grabbed? They grabbed their guns and their rifles. Now, I'm going to tell you this as someone who's actually fired a weapon more than once. Today, the guy apparently was shooting a Ruger, and I was listening to the news, and some pontificator was talking about a Ruger. I mean, I'm telling you, the media has absolutely no idea what they're talking about. And I've got a little montage here I may play probably in the next segment of just to point out how stupid some of the stuff is that people are saying. Do you understand there is no difference? A semi-automatic rifle is a semi-automatic rifle. And the people use the word assault rifle. It doesn't mean anything. There's no particular qualities to an assault rifle that make it more deadly than a rifle. Can hold the same amount of ammunition. It can have this. It can shoot the same bullets or worse. In fact, hunting rifles can shoot oftentimes larger and more arguably more deadly bullets. So that there's no difference there. But it just baffles me. It baffles me that people are clamoring for a change that is entirely and totally emotional. There's no rational basis for it. You have to be able to define the problem and have a constitutional solution for it. And that is not what we have here. At all. Interestingly enough, we were talking about this here and doing some show prep, and I was reminded that when the Government Accountability Office, the purchasing arm of the federal government, when they come in and they buy AR-15s, okay, which are classified, I guess, by the media as assault weapons, they call it a personal defense weapon. That's what it is. So when the government buys that gun, it's called a personal defense weapon. But when the government and politicians that belong to the government talk about it and are trying to make a lot of noise, they call it an assault weapon. And it's meant to scare you. This is like the Africanized honeybee. Do you remember that? Or the Africanized killer bee. I mean, so we come up with stupid names that don't mean anything, that are meant to inflame us, that are meant to make us angry. And it's all for what? All for Twitter glory and your 10 seconds in the sun, talking on the cable news show. So that's one of the bans. That was one of the solutions that's put out there. You ban assault weapons. Another one is you ban the number of max capacity of a magazine. Another stupid one. I'm just telling you, it's just stupid. Number one, it's stupid because here in California, we do have a ban on magazines. You can have 10 is the max for any semi-automatic weapon. And you can't have any automatic weapons. So just semi-automatic means one pull of the trigger, one bullet. Okay? That's it. That's what semi-automatic means. It's not a scary word. It's just a technical designation. So guess what? If you don't buy a magazine with 30 bullets, you carry three magazines with 10 bullets each. I don't know. I mean, when you're shooting poor, innocent people in a church and they're not armed, because, of course, churches are gun-free zones, right? It's like schools. That's another brilliant part of the story no one's talking about. So when you're sitting and shooting or standing and shooting innocent people, what's a quick reload? I'm not trying to be cynical about this. I'm just saying that everything I'm hearing today is absolutely stupid. And I'm, of course, here to correct the record and make some sense of it. All right, don't go anywhere. I've got more media stupidity up next. You're going to really enjoy this montage. And then I'll talk a little bit more about this. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC. So in talking about the various proposed and I think absolutely insane political solutions to yet another mass shooting, this one that occurred in Sutherland Springs, Texas. One thing of note that I think is extremely important is that this guy should not, under present law, been eligible to purchase any weapons of any kind. And that's because this guy was dishonorably discharged from the Air Force. In California, whenever you apply for a weapon and you have to do the background check, that's one of the things that they ask, and it's one of the things that they check in the background check. But here's the issue. Apparently, the Air Force did not submit this. Well, it's a bad conduct discharge. Yes, okay. But I think that people... Yeah, so basically, it wasn't something he'd done in the military. It was he'd hit his wife and her child. And her child was a year and a half old, cracked the child's skull. This is what kind of cretin we're talking about. I'm sorry, you hit a woman? You hit a baby so hard you crack his head? You only spend a year, what do you spend, a year and some months in jail? By the way, liberals, I'm speaking to you right now. You're the big softies on crime, you know? I'm looking at you. I mean, you're the people here in California that voted to put out all nonviolent offenders, consequently got burglars, you know, roaming the streets by the thousands, because they know it's catch and release time. And you let what kind of an insane system lets a guy out for smashing a baby's head out in a year? And he gets kicked out of the military, not an honorable discharge. And all of this should have been in his FBI profile, but it didn't get submitted. It didn't get submitted. The system failed. Your precious government, and again, speaking, we conservatives are realistic about the capabilities of government, which is why we want less government. We want less government because we know it's totally incompetent. So the less of our lives that it touches, the better. I'm not laughing at this. I'm just saying it's called realism. The other side lives in fantasy land. It's a great place. If you go to Disneyland or Disney World, not a good place if you're trying to solve the world's problems. So anyway, had the system worked, this guy should never have been able to buy a gun legally. Now, I submit to you, by the way, that would not have stopped him. I think that if you've got a guy that is hell-bent on a suicide mission, you're not going to stop him. That's it. Because he would have gone and bought a gun somewhere illegally. And that's why, again, in my opinion, gun control doesn't work. But it's a very embarrassing thing, and I'm sure whoever is responsible for this not happening is, I hope they feel very bad. But this is, things don't always work. You set up a system, you pass a law, you think it's going to solve all your problems, and presto, it doesn't. Because that's life. Because life isn't perfect, and you can't control everything. And you cannot put this back in the bottle. So now, The media today just reacting in a typically predictable, shrill, and stupid fashion. Listen to this montage.
The commonality in all of this is one thing, an assault weapon.
There's one commonality amongst all of these, and that is assault weapons.
Why do you need any assault rifles? An assault rifle is different than a gun.
It's a lot easier to do evil with an automatic or semi-automatic weapon.
We've never gone out with AR-style weapons to shoot deer.
A hunting enthusiast and one who needs an assault rifle, those are two different things.
And I will never understand why, even if you're a hunter, you need an Uzi to hunt for your lunch.
Why do you need 10 assault rifles? Why won't one of them do?
We have people that can outgun our law enforcement.
And get a military-style weapon. The police can't even match with firepower.
Now, this is such insanity. Why do you need, I love this, an automatic or a semi-automatic? Okay, an automatic weapon is a machine gun, right? And a semi-automatic is one shot, it's everything except for a revolver. And like a double barrel shotgun. Everything is a semi-automatic weapon. You guys don't even know what you're talking about. Yet you cannot shut up when it comes to this issue. And by the way, the Constitution, the Second Amendment, it's not going away. So you have to think beyond that. All right, we've got James Stanley up next with the news. Don't go anywhere. More on this when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, 800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com. I think we just got renamed there by James Stanley. Was that Sam Nation? Drive Home with Sam Nation? Since we're talking about assault weapons, it should be the drive-by. By Sam Nation. Well, I have a great way to explain to you, if you are a non-gun person, the difference between an assault rifle and a rifle. And the best story I have for you is this. I live in Orange County. I live in a place called Irvine. In Irvine, we have a lot of young people who like to modify their cars in various ways. So they will take a Honda Civic or whatever it is and put spoilers on it and put all sorts of stuff on it to make it look super cool. And years ago, this is when I was still a college student, I remember driving in town with a buddy of mine He was a bigger car guy than I am, and so he's in some souped-up Camaro. We pull up next to a guy who had one of these they're called rice burners, okay? That's what people call them. This little rice rocket car with the big spoiler on it and the big wheels and all this fancy stickers, and it just looked really cool. And he rolls down his window, and Dave says to him, "Hey, man, like, what you got under the hood?" And the kid looks at him and he's like, "Oh, it's stock." It was hilarious because this guy had spent thousands of dollars making his car look fast, but it had the same engine that it had originally when they bought it new from the dealership. Okay? That is what an assault weapon is. It is literally a rifle that has some cool stuff on it to make it look scary. These weird gun guys, these weird mass murderers like it because it looks scary. Because it makes them feel like they're some, you know, hotshot paramilitary, you know, operator. But it is functionally the same as a non-assault looking rifle. Any semi-automatic rifle is a rifle that shoots semi-automatically. And all that means is you pull the trigger, you get one bullet. Pull it a second time, you get a second one, and so forth and so on. And it's so important because, look, I hope a lot of libs are listening. Would you? I want them. If you want to come up with an effective gun control strategy, you need to understand what it is that you're banning, what changes that you're suggesting or proposing. But you see, this is the problem with how we fix our problems. The solutions are purely emotional, and there is no regard for the actual consequences. Is the consequence of a change actually going to fix anything? No. No, it won't. And how do I know that? I know that because when terrorists in France want to go and shoot up Charlie Hebdo, okay, in a country where it's 100% gun control, you cannot buy a gun legally, no way, no how, guess what? Suddenly they're shooting AK-47s out in the middle of Paris. Because men and women that have an intent to kill and are perfectly fine with dying in the process have no care in the world for any laws. And the black market will produce anything, even if it's illegal. Haven't we learned this from the drug war? I'm super confused here. These same liberals, this is so hilarious to me about liberals and gun control, is that all my liberal friends all think that gun control is going to fix the problem. And then I ask them, well, tell me the last time you've done an illegal drug. And they're like, yesterday. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. If you did coke in the last week, my friend, if you've done meth in the last month, then there is your answer for why gun control is not going to work. Because you could outlaw it all outright and make stiff penalties for it. It doesn't mean that you won't be able to get it if you're determined to. And a person who's out on a suicide mission is no different than an addict looking for a hit. All right, don't go anywhere. I got some reactions in the media that I think you'll enjoy. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KVC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, here for my good friend, sweet James Bergner. This is the only lawyer to call when you get hurt in an accident or injured and need to have somebody take care of you. Don't go with the nameless, faceless brands that are out there. Go with the guy that everybody knows, that everybody trusts. This is the lawyer whose number you need to have in your back pocket. I'm going to start with the number today, so just so you have it. Very important. Remember this. You never know when you're going to need him. 1-800-881-2021. That's the number. And look, it's easy. No recovery, no fee. James and his team, they get top results. They get the kind of results that make even insurance company adjusters call him when they get hurt. So just so simple. It's a free consultation. You don't pay him anything until he recovers money in your case. Give him a call. He'll talk you through it. He'll tell you what you need to do. And you'll feel the comfort of knowing that you're taken care of. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation, Sam Rojofsky back behind the microphone here in the Sweet James studios. How many Sweet Jameses can I get in there? Also, not enough, never enough. Also, what was I going to mention here just a minute ago? Just fell out of my mind. Well, Trump's in Tokyo. Have you seen this? He's in Tokyo. And he met the Emperor of Japan. Now, the Emperor of Japan, this is an interesting thing. The Emperor of Japan supposedly traces his lineage basically to heaven. The Japanese emperor is still revered by most Japanese as next to godlike. And if you've ever been to Tokyo, the Imperial Palace in Tokyo, they're just it's very near Ginza. So if you see the pictures of Tokyo where they've got the big intersection with the colored, you know, lighted billboards, the big screen TVs, that's in Ginza. And the Imperial Palace is, I would say, about 4 or 5 blocks from there, just on the other side of the main Marunouchi train station. Now, I happen to love Tokyo, and it's just one of my favorite cities. It's the largest city you will feel safe in, totally safe in. They have no crime. The Japanese are very particular about honoring their family and not letting society down, so it's very limited crime, very clean. People don't drop any wrappers on the ground. It's basically exactly the opposite of New York City. But at any rate, I bring all this up to say that this imperial palace where the emperor lives, that is in the heart of Tokyo, is perhaps one of the most exclusive pieces of real estate in the world. Because nobody goes in there except for staff and some high-ranking government officials and some select foreign leaders that come to visit. When President Obama went to visit the emperor, there's pictures of it. It was, exactly. Typical Obama. He bowed down so low, he looked like he was going to fall over. This is our head of state bowing to Japan. And by the way, I love Japan, and it's my favorite culture. I have to say this. The Japanese, I love everything about it. But we're America, and I'm an American. And when my president goes and visits their head of state, I don't care if he thinks he fell out of the heaven the day before. I want my president to stand up tall to him. That's what I want. This is nonsense. Obama went around bowing to everybody, from the king of Saudi Arabia to the emperor to Putin. Of course, can't talk about that because that doesn't fit the narrative. Obama was always bowing. Either that or he had groin pain. I don't know. I guess we will have to ask Michelle about that. But at any rate, Trump goes and visits with the emperor, and he just gives him a little nod and shakes his hand. Nice and plenty decent. And what is the media talking about? They're talking about the stupid koi feeding incident. Have you heard about this? So Prime Minister Shinzo Abe meets with Trump and visits his favorite koi pond. And they feed the koi. And this is what you do. This is a show of hospitality if you let somebody feed your fish. And Trump just dumps the whole basket of food into the koi pond. And the media just going nuts because every person in the media is a freaking koi expert. And they know it. So they're freaking out. You know what they didn't show in the video? That Shinzo Abe dumped his basket in all in right before. They don't show that. All they show is Trump dumping his basket, and they're calling him a you-know-what. God, the media, frustrating bunch of losers. Total losers. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And yes, we are making radio great again. Here is Andrea Mitchell and Chris Jansing, who's an NBC reporter, talking about Trump's reactions to New York, to the New York terror attack versus the Texas mass shooting incident the other day. Listen to what these two clowns are talking about.
The president's reactions, clearly he's not talking about gun laws. And interestingly, he's not talking about changing any other kind of laws as he did after New York. But he's reverting to what he said after Las Vegas and now after Texas.
Yeah, striking difference, right? Because here he said essentially what he said after Las Vegas, which is that this is a mental health problem. Contrast that with a very specific set of policy changes that he talked about involving immigration. When we saw that it was someone from Uzbekistan who was here on a visa, he talked about, you know, stepping up restrictions on people coming in.
Yeah. This is exactly what I was explaining earlier in the program. Because here's the deal, Andrea Mitchell. There is a political solution to immigration. The president, the government, the executive branch has plenary powers when it comes to excluding foreign nationals from our soil. That's another word for the president can kind of make all the decisions and call all the shots, and he's not bound by any constitutional restrictions. Contrast that to undoing, one of the 10 amendments that comprise the Bill of Rights. You can't freaking do that, you idiots. This is so funny to me. Meanwhile, Chicago is close to recording its 600th homicide. Most of these are shooting deaths. Nobody gives a crap. You know why? Because this city is what? So it's entirely run by liberals. It's entirely the product of left-wing policies. They have gun control up the yin-yang. So, I mean, try buying a gun. Chicago is a city that forbade private gun ownership of private gun ownership. Remember this was a seminal Supreme Court case went all the way up, and they said, nope, sorry, Chicago, you can't do that. Heller, right? So at any rate, almost 600 homicides. And no one's talking about that. Nobody wants to talk about it. No one wants to get near it. What I'm just telling you is that this entire argument around this issue is emotionally based. And that is not how we have constructive conversations. All right. The Democratic Party is coming apart at the seams. Very interesting posturing headed into the 2020 race in the 2018 season. I'm going to talk about fascinating stuff and why I think we're going to have 4 more years of Trump. Lickety split. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Can't stop addicted to the show.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Friends, welcome back to the program. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We are making radio great again, one little segment at a time. My vision is coming back to me. Thank you for asking. I went in for an appointment a few hours before the show, and I had to get my eyes dilated. That's when they put those terrible drops, and I hate anything in my eyes. This is why I don't wear contacts. I don't wear contacts. No, the first time I wore contacts, it took me maybe 2 hours to put the first contact in. The idea of putting my fingers on my eye, if you wear contacts, you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, thank your lucky stars you don't. Some people are more sensitive to others than others. I am one of those people that is totally sensitive to it. When the doctor gets all up in there close to your eye and starts forcing eye drops in, and they are stinging and they're hurting your eye. I mean, this is torture. I start to give up my PIN numbers, you know, and last four of my social and things like that. Anyway, and then I come to the studio. My pupils are dilated. I went up to producer Robbie, and I said, it kind of caught him off guard. I invaded his personal space. I just went right up to him, and he was, you know, he's busy doing show prep and putting some stuff together here on the computer. And I come over to him and I said, "Look into my eyes." And I had my glasses off. Of course, my pupils were huge, and he did this like thing where he almost jumped back. I love having that kind of power. So I don't know if you can see him now. Are they better? Can you tell? Not from here. Okay. Well, anyway, they feel better. Oh my goodness! I know what I'm going to be using these eyes for. I was just talking about this. Those of you who follow the program know that, you know, we lost our dog a week ago Sunday. It's been a traumatic week for our family. And, you know, the kids a few days ago started talking about a puppy. And I'm torn about this. I'm bringing this to you. You're my friends. We talk every night. I'm bringing this to you. I mean, I love my dog. I miss her to death, but we told the kids, you know, well, we need to give it some time. We need Lucy to pick a puppy in heaven for us. You know, we need to give this some time so that when Lucy's up there, you know, dancing and running around in doggy heaven, the little puppy that's going to come down, we got to give her some time to tell her about us. The kids seem to understand that, certainly to a point, except I went to pick my son up at school today, and I show up, and he goes, Dad, do you have a puppy? Did you get a dog? I look at him, I'm like, no, gosh, no. This is going to take some time, but I don't know. I've talked to different people about this, and I, you know, it's the house is so empty. When you're used to having a dog and an animal with you, and they're part of the family, and they're gone, it's just it's this immeasurable, indescribable void that their absence brings. And, you know, I think ultimately a new puppy will come along. It's not Lucy, we still love you and we'll always love you. And you're always a part of our family, even though you're not here with us anymore. But send down a puppy from heaven for us. I think that that's exactly what the Murjovskis need. Certainly our three kids who miss her dearly and would love a little puppy. So hopefully I'm not a horrible person for that. Now, as far as politics, let me talk to you about some horrible people. The Democrats, no, just kidding. They're not all horrible, but they are horribly misguided. And we love them for this. We love them for this. And frankly, part of what this program does, what I do here, is I try to, just to make it fair. They're so lost. I feel like I need to help out. So my giving back to the Democratic Party is I think I give really good advice that they ought to listen to. And one of the most baffling things I have seen come out of the Democratic Party as of late is an insistence to stick to the economy. Well, you've got to understand this. The economy is doing fantastic. Now, the stock market will not continue to go up because what comes up must come down. There eventually will be a correction, and how big, we don't know. But the long and the short of it is that the reason that there is great economic growth by every indicator, unemployment's down, GDP is up, investment is up, optimism is up, spending is up, all good things. All of that is happening because of people with the money, people who are making decisions, who are not in the media, who are not on Twitter, who are not doing polls or anything like that, spending more money, investing more money because they believe that this government is going to make for a more hospitable climate. So it is against this backdrop that the Democratic Party insists on coming out with a platform that is economy-based. And we saw this last July. And I'm reading this from McClatchy. They did a piece on this just the other day. And this is what they write about it. Democrats decided 16 months before the 2018 election, which is exactly a year from now, how they would start winning races again. They gathered in a small Virginia town on a sweltering July day. Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and their lieutenants laid out a better deal agenda. Remember this, the better deal agenda, focusing on the middle class, jobs, and higher wages. A vow, they said, that their party would never again waver from, like laser-like focus on the economy. So, you remember this, the better deal, and they've stuck to this. This is the big thing. Well, they talk about it every time. It's all drivel on TV. We have to focus on the middle class. We have to do this. We have to. Okay. Meanwhile, how is this going to get them any votes in an economy that is improving with the current guy in office? Does this make sense to you? It doesn't. And here is something that is very important to understand. Every time that Trump delves into a culture war issue, it is an absolute boondoggle for Democrats. I will explain this to you. Let's talk about the NFL. Can we? I'm no football expert, but I am a cultural expert. I'm a political expert. And what's going on in the NFL right now has nothing to do with sports. And it's not my doing. It's the NFL's doing. They have taken something that ought to be entirely about sports and feeling good about sports and, you know, tangentially feeling good about America and all that good stuff, appealing to as many people as possible. And the elites that run that organization, from the owners to Roger Goodell, all decided that they would become social justice warriors, that they would stick it to Trump because they've read the polls and they've read the New York Times and they've read the Washington Post and Trump is unpopular. So they're going to stick it to Trump and they're going to become social justice warriors and they're going to do this nonsense where I saw Jerry Jones kneeling on the field with the football players. Oh, but he didn't do it during the anthem, so it's all okay. Wrong. People want to tune into football to watch football. But the interesting thing is these empty stadiums. You've seen that these games, we just had Sunday football, yesterday, and we have, what did you see? I mean, stadiums are empty. There's one game yesterday where two-thirds of the stadium empty at kickoff. People aren't coming to the stadiums. The ratings for these games are down 8 to 12%, depending on what figure you go by. It's huge. In real dollars, this is a catastrophe. And it shows you the difference between the perception of what the elites think that you, the people, want. Okay? And what you, the people, want. And you, the people, don't want the social justice thing. You, the people, for the most part, maybe not in Santa Monica, but in the U.S. in general, side with Donald Trump on some of his pronouncements that get criticized in the media. For example, transgender bathrooms. For example, the NFL controversy. And every time Trump brings up a social issue and takes a conservative, traditional approach on it, takes a pro-America approach, takes a pro-police approach, takes a pro-military approach, and every time he does that, he baits the Democrats and their entire cacophony of media helpers into doing what? Into just going into a full-scale meltdown. Can't do it. He's horrible. He's there. And they, every time that happens, they are digging themselves a new grave. It's fascinating. The other interesting thing is these Donna Brazile revelations. Now, you know, she's the former head of the DNC, or the interim chair of the DNC, that she came in after Debbie Wasserman Schultz blew the whole thing up. Remember, her emails got hacked into, and it showed that she was in the can for Hillary. Donna Brazile comes to clean it up, according to her, to clean it up. And anyway, has now this last week confirmed that, yes, indeed, the whole process was totally hacked from the inside by Hillary to get the nomination. And she's getting attacked in various ways. But the victors of that conflict, right, the victors of who's the one who's been proved, who should have become the nominee? Let me ask that. Bernie Sanders, right? And it's the Bernie Sanders wing of the party, which are who? Socialists, communists, millennials, Antifa. I don't know. There's a laundry list. They're all kooks. So the kookiest of kooky of the kooky party, those are the people who right now have the moral high ground. They are the people who potentially could gain control of the Democratic Party. This is not good. Look, if you are a moderate Democrat who wants Trump out of the White House, right now, if I were you, I would start I'd dig through your drawers and find your Kreskin crystals, because you're going to need that crap. You literally should start rubbing those things together right now and hoping for some good juju, because this is not going anywhere fast. On one hand, you've got, every time they get dragged into a culture war argument with Trump, they lose. And they lose because in their world, they think that they're right, and they think that everybody cares about transgender bathrooms. Where the reality is, for example, that nobody in middle America has any idea what you're talking about when you say there are 32 genders. No one. Like, nobody cares. You know what they care about? They care about that now their little town has a factory that's reopening. They care about that now there's a president who speaks his mind and talks and thinks like they do. They look at a world where finally their president isn't bowing to every, you know, tin horn dictator that he visits when traveling around the world. They don't care that he's a little vulgar and that he wears baggy suits and his tie, you know, hangs down to his crotch. They don't care about any of that. You mock him for that because, you know, you wear a Brioni, a $10,000 suit, and, you know, sip $25 cocktails and think you're hot. You know what? That's the problem. The elites have just lost their minds. They're lost completely in an echo chamber in their own world. And those by, you know, this is, the elites, of course, are controlling the Republican Party, too. But the Republican Party, like it or not, for the establishment, is being propped up and held up by a very successful president. And I'm saying that look, I can be critical of Trump, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just a Trump fanboy, but I'm looking at this and I see all the makings of a very successful presidency. And it irks you. If it irks you, or if you're right now, if you're getting peeved at me saying that, the reason it irks you is because there's truth to it. The numbers, the plain numbers of the economy, of what is happening right now, the economic growth, it's stunning. Nothing like this we ever saw during 8 years of Obama. So the Democrats, I don't think that they can run a campaign based on the economy. It just makes no sense. None whatsoever. At the same time, every time they talk about social issues, they end up losing people. Okay? They're losing people. They're losing people the same way the NFL is losing people in the stadium and losing people at home in their living rooms that aren't tuning in. They are losing people. So, anyway, we'll be back right after this. I give you some great examples. Vin Scully has even weighed in on this. It's fascinating. That's right, Vin Scully, the legend, a living legend. Totally not a political guy at all, but he actually waded into this whole issue. And that, to me, by the way, speaks volumes. There are so many others like him. All right, we'll be back right after the short break here. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. So baffling all of us that have a political brain is the Democratic Party running a campaign against Trump, gearing up for a 2020 showdown. We don't have any candidates' names, although there are some names have been floated. But they want to make the economy an issue. There's just one problem. The economy is doing great and will continue to do great, provided that certain reforms come into place, like tax reform. By the way, you think this might be one of the reasons that the Democrats are trying to sabotage it? I'm just saying. You know, well, of course not, Sam. They just want to make America better, and they want to help, and they are there to improve the lives of everybody, blah, 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 blah. No, they're playing politics with this 100%, and they are becoming the obstructionists that will be responsible for whatever detrimental results happen here. But the other interesting thing is, I really think that going into the 2020 race and even into the 2018 midterms, which will be very important, because basically all of Congress at that point is all the House, at least, is up for re-election. What you find, let me tell you, you've got elections that the Democrats continue to get dragged into culture war issues, things like cisgender, transgender issues. Most Americans, not you in West Hollywood, but most Americans, they don't know what cisgender is. And guess what else? I'm going to be really heartless here. Are you ready for this? They don't care. Now, if you want to make it about gun control, they're going to start to care very quickly. Every time one of these, you know, unaccountable, life-appointed federal judges goes out there and kills one of Trump's attempts to make America safe by, I don't know, maybe not importing en masse people from terror-sponsored countries, they don't like that. If that albatross gets hung around the neck of the Democratic Party and any candidate that it selects, that's a problem. And then there's this final little issue, and it's all wrapped up in these revelations that the DNC threw in everything for Hillary and basically robbed Bernie of his chance to become the candidate. And what fascinates me about this part of it, and listen closely, what's so fascinating about it is that Bernie is representative maybe of somebody that the Democratic Party as a whole can rally around because he's charismatic, et cetera, et cetera. But what is Bernie at the end of the day? He's a freaking socialist. He's radical. I'm following some guy in a car. But I love people who still have stickers from the 2016 presidential race. By the way, right now, if you're driving and you still have an I'm with her sticker, just do us all a favor and drive off the road. I saw somebody at my kid's school the other day that still has an I'm with her. If you're still with her, it better be because you put that sticker on with super glue. Okay? That better be your only excuse. No, so I see this guy with some Bernie stickers on the back of his bumper. And it had some of his quotes. I'm trying to remember this. So one of them was, if the institution, meaning like a bank, if the financial institution is too big to fail, then it shouldn't exist in the first place. Here's the deal. Here's the scoop. I told you, Democrats, I'm looking out for you. I want to give you some advice. The reason that our economy is booming, and take note, by every economic indicator, by every unemotional but real numbers, right? By every measure, the economy is booming. Why? Because finally there's a guy in there who is perceived to be business friendly. If you had a guy like Bernie Sanders win, and those were the kind of things he was saying, this economy, regardless if Bernie did anything or not, the economy would be in the toilet because everybody would be holding on to their money, fearful of what the future would bring. Here, all we know is either Trump doesn't do something, or if he does do something, it's going to be business friendly. And with that, the economy is booming. And you still want to make it about the economy, and you still, Democrats, want to... What does the future bear? They're going to have somebody in here who's even crazier. All right, we'll talk about Vin Scully when we come back and talk more about this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. James Stanley up next with the news.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, bottom of the 8 o'clock hour, and we are having more fun than we should be allowed to have. 800-222-5222 is the number if you'd like to call in. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Ooh, Donna Brazil. Now, she's, can we call her a whistleblower? No, not really, because she's out. She's gone. Now she's writing a book. We talked about this last week, how she, the former head of the interim chair of the Democratic National Committee, was in office for a period of time at the end of the 2016 presidential race. And she basically revealed, the DNC was bought and paid for by Hillary, and they threw the race in her favor, to the detriment of Bernie. And apparently, she's getting a lot of flack from the Democrats. This is fascinating stuff. Because you would think that the party that wants to shine so much transparency on the Trump White House would, hey, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? I mean, but no, God forbid that any transparency come their way. So they're throwing Donna under the bus. Ba-bum, ba-bum. And she's complaining about it on George Stephanopoulos. Now, what interesting, I hate how people call Stephanopoulos a journalist. He's not a journalist. This is a veteran political hack. Okay? Stephanopoulos was one of the Clinton bagmen. This guy has Clinton, DNA flowing through his veins. All right, so This is this week with George Stephanopoulos, Donna Brazile, talking about her reaction. This is her reaction to critics within the Democratic Party that are saying, you're hurting our chances in 2016. We've got election. Excuse me, 2018. You're hurting our elections with 2018. You can't do this. You should wait. So this is her response. She's fired up. Listen to this.
This is a lesson of 2016. If I released it next year, they would say, Donna, you're impacting on 2018. If I release it the following, Donna, you're impacting. George, for those who are telling me to shut up, they told Hillary that a couple of months ago. You know what I tell them? Go to hell. I'm going to tell my story.
Fascinating that she's hiding behind Hillary, don't you think? She's almost saying, well, they told Hillary to shut up, and I'm going to, you know, now they're telling me to shut up, I'm going to tell them to go to hell. See, I think the Democrats ought to tell Hillary to go to hell. I think they already have. My theory is that they're looking to get rid of her as quickly as they possibly can, get that albatross off their necks, and move on to look at prospective future races that they can win. But with Donna Brazile and these allegations, this is something that the Democratic Party has to come to terms with. Right. This is, if her allegations are true, and many reasonable people have no doubt, because we knew that after we read the frickin' emails that nobody denied weren't real. So we're reading this during the election. We know the whole thing was in the bag for Hillary, that Debbie Wasserman Schultz was basically a Clinton stooge. All of this, no surprise. So what do you have? The Democratic Party has to come to terms with this in order to be able to convince its voters that its next race, its next presidential election, is legitimate. If a bunch of Bernie voters went out there and voted and then they basically got cheated by a party apparatus that was corrupt, what do you think that does for voter engagement the next time around? It's not good. You want to talk about vote suppression? These people are such hypocritical tools. These are the people that talk about, you know, oh, these white supremacists and voter suppression and all this nonsense. Meanwhile, they've got Black Panthers intimidating, you know, voting precincts. Nothing's done about it. The Obama Justice Department turns a blind eye. And then their entire primary process is rigged. My foot. This is just, it's too much. But they have to come to terms with this. They have to do it. Otherwise, their voters will not engage. And for Trump, it'll be an even bigger landslide than it's already set up to be. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, energetically plowing my way through the day's issues and deciphering and decoding them for you, the audience. This is another example. I will call it, I don't know, we will call it another sign that the Democrats and the left might just be losing the culture war. This in CBSSports.com, Vin Scully says he'll never watch another NFL game again due to anthem protests. Now, if you don't know who Vin Scully is, you're even more sports illiterate than I am, which is an epic feat. Okay, Vin Scully is the voice of the Dodgers, and he is probably, as far as legendary broadcasters are concerned, he has the best voice. I think Vin Scully, okay, he retired last year, 2 years ago. Last year he retired. He has the most amazing voice. But at any rate, Scully is not a political commentator guy. He's actually a consummate professional when it comes to sports and sports broadcasting. And somebody who understands that you want to appeal to everybody. This is different. Me, I have a political bent, and it's what I explained to you, and we talk about politics, and this is an ideologically based program. So if you're tuning in, you know what my opinion is, and you're listening to it, whether you agree with me or not. But when you're a sports broadcaster, or an actor, or a singer, or somebody else whose career depends on appealing to as many people as possible, wading into politics and social issues is not good. And Vince Scully is one who understands that. Now, granted, he's not necessarily working anymore, but he still has a powerful brand. Never going to watch another NFL game. And he's offended. He says, look, I'm offended. This whole taking a knee protest, he thinks is disrespectful to America and to the armed forces. Here are his comments. I have only one personal thought, really. I am so disappointed. And I used to love during the fall and winter to watch the NFL on Sunday. And it's not that I'm some great patriot. I was in the Navy for a year, didn't go anywhere, didn't do anything. But I have overwhelming respect and admiration for anyone who puts on a uniform and goes to war. So the only thing I can do in my own little way is not to preach. I will never watch another NFL game. Yeah, I got some news for these elites that think they are so hip with all their virtue signaling, social justice crusades, to Jerry Jones. I thought Jerry Jones like knew what he was doing. What idiot? Jerry Jones is an idiot. The minute that he, in that stupid blue blazer of his, you know, robin's nest egg blue or whatever heck that color was, locked arms and kneeled with his players, that, you know, banana-looking grin on his face. Look, I'm just telling you, the minute he did that, that was stupid. You lost Vin Scully, man. I don't know how else to put this to you. This is like, it's like Vin Scully's like the Jesus of sports. I mean, he's a legend, right? So, this is why I think the Democrats are just, they got to get away from these social issues. And Trump consistently just, he needles them. He needles them, and he'll tweet something out, and then everybody will go and get themselves into a tizzy, react, show just how much social justice they are for. And these are all behaviors, by the way, that are learned at university. They're learned in college. They're learned in high school. All these politicians who were children of the 60s and 70s learned, and sometimes these political reporters, right, who are, you know, even younger. This is what they learned in college. You learned how to fall in line and how to you know, be an activist and how to do all these things. They lost touch with regular America. And guess what? Regular Americans love the flag. They love our veterans. They love our men and women in uniform. And all of the stuff that they're wading into is just toxic. It's poison. This is just yet another example where I really think that it's a losing issue. I hope they get smart if they intend to make any progress. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC, coming to you loud and clear from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. I don't know if you caught it on the news when James Stanley was going through some of the things, some of the top stories, and he's mentioning that Irvine home invasion. But the bottom of the hour. Fascinating. I actually think that's a good reason to own a gun. You can live in Irvine, which is supposedly, you know, one of America's safest cities, and you're not immune to some lunatic invading your house and killing you and your loved ones. And perhaps, just maybe, having guns in the hands of the good guys is good. This is one of the comments that Trump made that is getting so roundly criticized. You know, somebody wanted, I guess, Trump to talk about gun control in relation to the Texas massacre over the weekend, and Trump said, you know, I'm just glad that some good guys had guns. And this brings me to a very important point. I mentioned it a little and touched on it a little bit last hour, but shootings like this tend to happen in places where people are disarmed. You know, you go to, you know, I go to my kid's school and I see a sign up and it says gun-free zone. And I go, aha, this sign was brought to you by your favorite liberal, some unnamed person who thought it would be a great idea to put up a sign that designates a school as a gun-free zone. Because that is exactly the kind of sign that greeted, I don't know, Adam Lanza, for example, that greeted Dylan Klebold when they went to Columbine High School. And I bet both of them just looked at that sign and said, oh my good, we really shouldn't do this. Right here, this magical line, this is a gun-free zone. I don't think we can bring our guns in here. This is the type of stupidity that we are dealing with. These are the people that are out there saying, hashtag prayer's not enough. Hashtag do something. Hashtag change. Yeah, this is insane. The person that is on a suicide mission to kill, to hurt, to do whatever, is going to do it. If he can't get a gun, he's going to take his car. If he doesn't have his car, he's going to rent a truck. If he doesn't have that, he's going to buy ammonium nitrate. If he doesn't have that, he's going to get a long knife that he bought at MarthaStewart.com. I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't want to sound like some sick freak. There's lots of ways to kill people. A gun is only one of them. Now, I get it. You can do a lot of damage with the gun, but you can also drive into a crowded market and you can cause a lot of damage that way. It's an interesting thing to me. Philosophically, I understand, and I don't like it. I don't like it. But I understand that this world has evil people in it that want to do harm. I'm even taking the mental health argument out of it for a minute, just to put that off to the side. There are some people that are truly evil, whatever their reason is. And it is difficult, if not impossible, to create a safety net, an absolute fail-safe world. Just, you know, I understand liberals want to wrap us all up in bubble wrap. And you just can't do that. It's like parenting. I want to protect my kids from everything. I love my children more than I love life itself. But I recognize that I need to let them out in the world. They went chasing a snake today, barefoot in the bushes. And, you know, one kid comes back, as when I was picking them up at school, one kid comes back and says, it was a cobra. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it wasn't a cobra. And then Daniel goes, it wasn't a rattlesnake. I heard it wasn't a rattlesnake. I go, well, one kid's telling me it's a cobra. And the other one is telling me it's a rattlesnake. I don't know. Anyway, you got to let them do stuff. You got to let them live. You can't prevent every bad thing from happening. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back right after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.